الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وحده لا شريك له ولا نظير له ولا ند له ولا ضد له ولا مثل له ولا مثال له ونشهد أن سيدنا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم دعواهم فيها سبحانك اللهم وتحيتهم فيها سلام وآخر دعواهم أن الحمد لله رب العالمين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم للمسلم على المسلم ست بالمعروف يسلم عليه إذا لقيه ويجيبه إذا دعاه ويشمته إذا عطس ويعوده إذا مرض ويتبع جنازته إذا مات ويحب له ما يحب لأخيه أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله العظيم وبلغنا رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين.
My respected elders and brothers, in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining six rights of every Muslim. In other words, every Muslim has six rights over us, which is called huququl ibad. There are two things. One is huququllah and one is huququl ibad, the rights of Allah and the rights of people. And as far as people's rights are concerned, the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that as it is important for a person to fulfill the rights of Allah, it is more important for him to fulfill the rights of people. And especially when it's a Muslim, then a Muslim has additional rights over us. And in this particular hadith narrated by Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining six rights that every Muslim has over us. The first right that is mentioned in this hadith is, يُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا لَقِيَهُ. When you meet a Muslim, then you greet him with salam. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that if there's anything that will generate love and muhabbat amongst ourselves, if there's anything that will generate love and muhabbat amongst ourselves, then it is this aspect of salam. وَلَن تُؤْمِنُوا حَتَّى تَحَابُّوا. A person doesn't have perfect iman until he generates love amongst himself. And how should a person do this? أَوَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَىٰ شَيْءٍ إِذَا فَعَلْتُمُوهُ تَحَابَبْتُمْ. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, let me show you something which if you practice on it, Allah will create love amongst ourselves. And that is أَفْشُ السَّلَامَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Make salam common amongst you. Wherever we go, whoever we meet, a person is making salam. Whether we know the person, we don't know the person. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, عَلَى مَنْ عَرَفْتَ وَمَنْ لَمْ تَعْرِفْ. You know the person, you don't know the person. Greet every person. You can see the man is a Muslim. He's got a beard, he's got a kurta, he's got a topi on his head. You can make out the face of a Muslim, you greet him with salam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains that this is what creates love and muhabbat amongst ourselves. Sometimes we in a habit, we'll greet only a wealthy person. We see somebody driving a very smart car, who is a very wealthy person, then we'll greet him with two hands. We'll greet him, as-salam, with two hands. The muazzin, we walk past him, we don't even greet the muazzin. Whereas the muazzin in the whole community, he has the highest position. In the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, al-muazzinun atwaluhum a'naqan yawm al-qiyamah. The muazzins will have the highest position on the day of qiyamah. If we walk past the muazzin, we don't even greet him. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying, Ala man arafta wa man lam ta'rif. Whoever we know, you know the person, you don't know the person, it's an old person, it's a young person, we should greet everyone. And the sawab for this is so much that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you greet a person with assalamu alaykum, you get 10 rewards. And you say, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah, 20, 20 rewards. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, 30, 30 rewards. And if the entire day, from the morning till the evening, we are greeting Muslims as we're going along, how much of sawab and how much of reward? Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will bless us for greeting people with salam. So this aspect of salam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Inna awla nasi billahi ta'ala man bada'ahum bis salam. The person who is the closest to Allah, and which Muslim doesn't want to be close to Allah. We all would love to be close to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person who is the closest to Allah is the one who makes salam first. The one who makes salam first, you can see there's two people, and the person who makes salam first is closer to Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes it happens, a small problem between you and your brother, or you and your neighbor, or some other Muslim, there's some issue, there's some problem, and now for some reason there's like a distance between the two. And the one initiates the salam, he goes up first and says, Assalamu alaikum. Allah loves this man. Allah loves him. He's closer to Allah Ta'ala, because that bad blood that was flowing, he broke that ice by going up first and making salam. He was the one who initiated the salam. Allah Ta'ala loves this man, got humility. He's got humility in him. He lowered himself and he went and made salam first. Hazrat Shaykhul Hadith, Mawlana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Nawarallahu Barqadahu, the author of the Fazail Amal. There were many of his relatives who were very jealous of him. They didn't like Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. They wouldn't even greet him. But Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali, when he used to go to Khandla, and he would make a point of going to them and making salam with them, he'd stretch out his hands to make salam. Many of them would put their hands behind their backs like this. And they'd say, we refuse to greet you. But Hazrat Shaykh would still go first and he'll say, Assalamu alaikum. They'll turn their backs and they'll walk away from him. Later on, those very same people became the murids of Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali. But family members, you tell them, why are you doing this? Why are you demeaning yourself like this, lowering yourself and going to make salam with them? So he says, must I do what you are telling me to do? Or must I do what my Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to do? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you make salam first. So I'm doing this, I'm going to make salam first. So the person who makes salam first, he's closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In another hadith, Rasulullah Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when a person enters his house, when a person enters his house and he makes salam, and he makes salam loudly, Allah's barakat and Allah's rahmat descends in that house. Allah reward our little maktab children when they go madrasa, their apas and their ustads teach them. When you enter your house, you make salam loudly. And it's so nice when those children walk into the house and loudly they make salam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. They're actually bringing barakat in our homes. This sunnah must be taught to our children, that whenever anybody comes, you go and make salam with them. Our parents, grandparents used to teach us. You playing, any elder comes, any visitor comes, you leave all your work and you go make salam with the visitor. Go make salam. This is an elder, is your father's brother, is your uncle. You leave everything and go make salam with him. So complaints sometimes come, the children don't make salam anymore. They don't want to make salam. So we must try and initiate the sunnah of making salam. It's the right of every Muslim that we make salam with them. So this is the first right of every Muslim. وَيُسَلِّمُ عَلَيْهِ إِذَا لَقِيَهُ, that we make salam with him when he meets him. The second right of every Muslim is وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا دَعَاهُ, if somebody gives him a dawat, gives him an invitation, tells him come home for meals, then it's his right that you accept his dawat. You accept his dawat, and if for some reason you cannot accept his dawat, then you express your excuse to him that, see, I've already got a dawat somewhere else, or I've got some commitment, I cannot make it, I've accepted your dawah, and inshallah one day I'll come to your house when I get the chance. To invite somebody to your house for a meal, to invite somebody to your house for a meal is a way of initiating love and muhabbat amongst ourselves. Person comes and he invites somebody to the house. So this is a right of a Muslim that you accept his dawah, whether it's a rich person, poor person, whoever it may be, we accept the dawah and we go and make the person's heart happy. The person becomes pleased, he becomes happy that this person came and he ate on my dastarkhan, he came and ate at my place. So the second right of every Muslim is وَيُجِيبُهُ إِذَا دَعَاهُ. The third right which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains, وَيُشَمِّتُهُ إِذَا عَتَسَ, when he sneezes and he says Alhamdulillah, then you must reply by saying Yarhamukallah. So when he says Alhamdulillah and you heard him saying Alhamdulillah, you must reply by saying Yarhamukallah, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's rahmat and may his mercy be upon you. Now when you look at all these teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there's so much of meaning to everything. Like look at this, we spoke about salam. When a person says, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, he is saying, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings, and may Allah ta'ala's peace descend upon you. And this person, when he replies, he makes the same dua for you. So you making a dua for him, he's making a dua for you. As compared to hello and good morning and hi, what is the meaning of this? None of us even know what is the meaning of hello. Hello, nobody knows what it is. But this salam which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us is so much of meaning. Here when a person sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah, and you say to him, Yarhamukallah, you are making dua for him, may Allah have mercy on you. He will reply by saying, Yahdikumullahu wa yuslihu balakum. Allah guide you and Allah make all your affairs and all your work easy for you. Allah guide you and Allah make all your work easy for you. Now look at this dua, so beautiful, the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One hadith, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam explains there are certain things that Allah ta'ala loves and certain things that Allah ta'ala detests. Among the things that Allah ta'ala loves is the sneeze of a believer. The sneeze of a believer. And why is it? Is that when a person sneezes, and that sneeze comes and he says, Alhamdulillah, he praises Allah. Allah Ta'ala becomes very happy with that believer when he sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah. And ask a person who's that sneeze is stuck in his nose, and he's just not coming out, and then he just comes out at that time, how that Alhamdulillah comes from the bottom of his heart. Allah becomes very, very happy with that believer when he says, Alhamdulillah, and he praises Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. And the thing is that Allah Ta'ala detests is a yawning of a believer, yawning. When a person yawns, and especially when he yawns and he doesn't cover his mouth. There are three occasions that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us we should cover our mouth. One is when you sneeze, one is when you yawn, one is when you cough. The person should cover his mouth at that time. So when a person is yawning and he makes that sound, Allah Ta'ala detests that. Allah Ta'ala really detests this. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, when shaitan sees a Muslim and he's yawning and he makes that sound, he actually falls down laughing at that Muslim. Then look at this lazy Muslim. Look at this lazy Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like laziness in a Muslim. He didn't like any Muslim must be lazy. He used to make dua, Rabbi a'uzu bika min al-kasali. Oh Allah, I seek your protection from laziness. That a Muslim be lazy to do anything. A Muslim must never be lazy. He must always be ready for any takaza, any work. Anything to do, he's up and about and he's ready to do it. At home, sometimes you find mothers are complaining, children are very lazy. They don't want to help. You just tell him, lay the dastarkhan, clear the dastarkhan, help out in the kitchen. He's sitting lazy. This is a quality which Allah Ta'ala doesn't like. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to seek protection from this quality of laziness. So we're speaking about the rights of Muslims, and we said the third right of a Muslim is, وَيُشَمِّتُهُ إِذَا عَتَسَ. When he sneezes and he says, Alhamdulillah, you should reply by saying, Yarhamukallah. There's one incident about one great muhaddis, Hazrat Imam Abu Dawood Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, whose kitab is studied in the Alim course, the Siha Sitta, in the final year of the Alim course, Abu Dawood Sharif. It's a very, very great kitab, authentic book of hadith, with about 4,800 hadiths of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. But the catalyst to this muhaddis becoming a muhaddis was the sneeze of somebody. The incident goes like this. He was standing at the harbor, and there was a ship that was leaving. And on the ship, there was a passenger who sneezed and said, Alhamdulillah. And as the ship left, the thought crossed his mind. This man said, Alhamdulillah, and it was his right that I supposed to say, Yarhamukallah. But I didn't say this. But by the time he thought and he came to his senses, the ship was already gone quite a bit. So he quickly called a person who had a boat, and he paid him 1 dirham. And he said, please take me as quick as you can to that ship. And as he came closer to the ship, he stood up and he shouted out, Yarhamukallah. Everyone on that ship heard a voice from the sky saying, Abu Dawood has purchased his jannat for 1 dirham. Abu Dawood has purchased his jannat for 1 dirham. Because he took up the time just to fulfill that right. And from there Allah just blessed him until he became a very great muhaddis. And his kitab is studied up till now in the alim course in every darul. وَيُشَمِّتُهُ إِذَا عَتَسَ. The fourth right of every Muslim is, وَيَعُودُهُ إِذَا مَرِضَ. When a Muslim gets sick, then you should go and visit him. Visiting a Muslim when he is sick, there's great amount of sawab and reward. And this aspect here, as far as visiting a sick person is concerned, this is not restricted only to a Muslim. A Muslim, non-Muslim, anyone who is sick, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once went to visit a Jewish boy fell ill, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took a few sahaba ikram radiallahu anhu, went to visit this boy, and he seized the opportunity to give him da'wat. He explained to him that you are about to pass away. Why are you worshipping deities besides Allah? Worship one Allah who is the creator of the skies and the earth. So
So this boy looked up at his father, that what should I do? The father gave the youngster mashwara, Ati Abul Qasim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Listen to what Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying to you. This boy then read the kalima and he passed away. Jewish boy, he read the kalima. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was so happy. He said, I make so much shukr to Allah ta'ala. All praise due to Allah who guided this boy to Islam on my hands. Who guided this boy to Islam on my hands. So to visit the sick person, any person is sick, is ill, then it's our right that we should go and, it's the right of that person that we should go and visit him. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you go and visit a sick person, you go and visit, the moment you leave your house and you go to visit him, you are already in the rahmat and in the mercy of Allah, number one. Number two, when you go to visit a sick person, you have distanced yourself from Jahannam by 70 years. You have distanced yourself from Jahannam by 70 years. Number three, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, when you go to visit a sick person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appoints 70,000 malaika that continue making dua for the forgiveness of this person until the evening. And if you went in the evening, then until the morning, 70,000 malaika are engaged in making dua for your forgiveness when you go to visit a sick person. So much of dua, malaika are making dua for us. Not one angel, not two angels, 70,000 malaika are making dua for our forgiveness when you go. And the fourth benefit Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains is that when you go and visit a sick person, an angel then calls out, Tibta wa taaba mamshaka wa tabawwa'ta min al-jannati manzila. MashaAllah, you did very, very well. Your walking is well. And be rest assured, you've built yourself a palace in Jannah. Be rest assured, you've built a palace in Jannah. Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq. And we try and visit our sick Muslim brothers. Whoever is sick, whoever, we go and visit them. Obviously at a time that is suitable to the sick person. Sometimes we're going at the wrong time to visit the sick person. He's fast asleep and we're waking him up from his sleep. Find out what's a suitable time to come. And then go and visit him for a short period. Make dua for him. His spirits are picked up and you get so much of sawab and reward for going to visit a sick person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards a person tremendously. So this is a great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam which must be revived. It must be revived and we should go. Many ulama, mashallah, are visiting the hospitals. They're going to the government hospitals, visiting the sick people in the hospitals. So groups of ulama, groups of musallis in masjids, many, many areas they're doing it. They're going to the government hospitals, King George, Eddington, Wentworth, and other hospitals. They're going there to visit because many of them are not getting very good treatment in these hospitals, but at least a visit from a Muslim brother is what picks up the spirit of when Maulana was just mentioning on the 25th of December. On the 25th of December, he visited the Addington Hospital, and as he was walking through the different wards, greeting them during the visiting hours, he said he met a Tanzanian brother who was there in the ward. And he said when this brother saw him, he just sat up from his bed and he called him, he said, Maulana, please come and sit here. He says, I'm in hospital now for 5 days. I haven't got one visitor. No one came to visit me. Obviously, I don't have much family here in Durban. But in this 5 days, every day there are Christian groups who are coming here and they're singing Christmas carols to us. He says, I feel my iman threatened in this environment. He says, I just saw you now. I feel so nice. Just sit with me, make some zikr with me, talk to me about Allah. And he said, Maulana says, he sat with him a few minutes, his iman got refreshed. Just by going to do a hospital visit. How many of us, inshallah, we can also try and do something like this. During the visiting hours of any public hospital, we take out the time once a week just to walk through the wards. More than anyone else will benefit, we'll benefit. Because of the rewards of going to visit sick people. So we take out the time, one hospital, we just go walking through the surgical ward, and just go greet all the patients, Muslim or non-Muslim. Allah will still give us the sawab and the reward for this. Some brothers are taking their wives and going, the wives are doing the ladies' wards, they are doing the men's wards. And like this, they're coming across so many people who are in need, people whose iman is on the fence, but just by speaking to them, talking to them about the greatness of Allah Ta'ala, the iman is also saved. After all, we've got time for so many things, we've got time for gymming, we've got time for walking, cycling, pedal, so many things we've got time for. We can take our time once a week for this great sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam of going to visit sick people and gaining so much of sawab. The fifth point that is mentioned, the right of a Muslim is وَيَتْبَعُ جَنَازَتَهُ إِذَا مَاتَ, that you go for the janazah of a Muslim when he passes away. A person dies, then to go for the janazah salah. Again, yeah, this is such a great sawab. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you attend the janazah of a Muslim, Allah ta'ala will reward you with one qirat of sawab. And one qirat of sawab is equal to Mount Uhud. And Mount Uhud is about 17 or 18 kilometers long. The biggest mountain in Medina Sharif. That's for just attending the janazah namaz of a Muslim. And if you go to the Qabristan, you get another qirat of sawab. So it's the right of every Muslim that we follow his janazah, we go for the janazah salah, we do his ghusl. Allah reward the burial society brothers, those who are involved. How much of time and effort, any time of the day or night, if a Muslim passes away, they are ready to pick up the body to do the ghusl. We must take part in the ghusl also. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, that person who takes part in the ghusl of a mu'min, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all his sins, and he walks out of that ghusl khana like the day his mother had given birth to him. In other words, all his sins are forgiven. If you can't do the whole ghusl, we can at least pour the water, pass the soap, get the kafan ready, do something inshallah, and we will still get the full sawab and reward. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, if you put the kafan on for a Muslim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with royal clothing in Jannat. Allah will bless you with royal clothing in Jannat if you put the kafan on for a Muslim. So there's so much of sawab and reward for this. In the Qabristan also, to go to the graveyard, to help and assist, to put the sand in the grave. This is also so rewarding. Nowadays too, there's a lot of complaints. People are complaining that in the Qabristan, nobody is helping to put the sand in the Qabr. Youngsters are standing on the side, sometimes hands folded, sometimes on the phone. In the Qabristan, where we're supposed to be thinking about Akhirat, people are not helping to assist. Sometimes they're looking at their shoes. I can't mess my shoes here, it's going to get messed up with the sand or the mud. So I'd rather just stand in the back, I won't take part. I remember our Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Harun Abbas Umar Sahib Rahmatullah Aliyah, was Sheikh al-Hadith. He once mentioned to us one hadith where he says, on the day of Qiyamah, a person will be standing in front of the mizan, will be standing in front of the scales, and his good deeds will be very light, and his bad deeds will be very heavy. So he'll be looking around for some good deed, and a small little packet with some sand will come and fall on this side, and it will make his good deeds very heavy, and he will get a shock, and he'll ask the malaika, and what is this? He said, this was the sand that you took and you put in the grave of a Muslim. Allah is rewarding you for that today. Allah Ta'ala is rewarding you for that today. So وَيَتْبَعُ جَنَازَتَهُ إِذَا مَاتَ, and a person, he follows the janazah of a Muslim when he passes away. And the last rite of every Muslim, which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, وَيُحِبُّ لَهُ مَا يُحِبُّ لِنَفْسِي. You love for your brother what you love for yourself. A person shouldn't be selfish. A person should love for everybody. He should have a big heart, and he should wish well for every Muslim. Sahabi, he says, I took bait on the hands of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me, Jarir, take this promise with me that you'll wish well for every Muslim. He says, from that day on, I wished well for everyone. I always thought about the welfare of the Muslims, and I never was selfish and thought only for myself and for my family. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Now that the Mubarak month of Ramadan is coming, it's an opportune time for us to clean out our hearts and to get our hearts cleansed from any kind of ill feelings, malice, jealousy, hatred for any Muslim, and that we have good feelings and good thoughts for Muslims in our hearts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to make amal. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.